Disinclination and their resultant activities. You are the cause of the miserable conditions of life caused by irreligion, and therefore you are death. I offer you my respectful obeisances. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of God is situated in everyone's heart, and from Him issue the living entities, inclinations and disinclinations. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Supreme Personality of God, I cause the asuras to forget Him, and the devotees to remember Him. One's disinclinations are due to the Supreme Personality of God, according to Bhagavad Gita. For Vitmansha and Vritmansha and Janana Vidu Asura, asuras do not know which way one should be inclined to act, and which way one should not be inclined to act. Although the asuras oppose devotional services, he understood they are inclined in that way due to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the asuras do not like to engage in the Lord's devotional service, the Lord within gives them the intelligence to forget. Ordinary karma is desire for promotion of Pritra Loka as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods, and those who worship ancestors will go to the ancestors. In this verse, the word dukkha daya is also very significant. For those who are non-devotees are perpetually put into the cycle of birth and death. This is a very miserable condition. Because one's position in life is attained according to one's activities, the asuras or non-devotees are put into such miserable conditions. Translation, my dear Lord, you are the viewer of the results of highest activities. You are the inclination, disinclination, and the result of activities. You are the cause of the miserable conditions of life caused by religion and therefore your death. I offer you my respectful obeisances. So here, Shiva describes the Lord in terms of the activities and situation of the jiva. The question will arise, of course, if the Lord is responsible for asuras being asuras and devotees being devotees and sinful activity and violence, etc., then shouldn't we blame God for the karma? Shouldn't He get the karma? Since He caused the jiva to do it. So what is the answer? If the Lord is responsible for all this, then He should get the karma, not the jiva. The jiva didn't do anything. The Lord's the cause of everything. He's the cause of the attraction of the jiva, the material nature, etc. So why should the jiva suffer? The Lord is the cause. So of course, that can be argued, but you have to understand that though the statement is made like that, it doesn't mean that the Lord is totally responsible, because free will of the jiva means he has responsibility. So though the Lord is involved in this, ultimately, it is the free will of the jiva, and he decides what he wants to do. How is the Lord involved in this? He permits it. He allows the jiva to exist, and he allows him to fulfill his desires. So in that sense, we can say there's some responsibility. But ultimately, in the act of doing a sinful activity, whatever, it is the jiva's responsibility, not the Lord's. So the Lord does not cause him to desire to do this act or that act. That's the individual jiva. If we were all the Lord, then there would be no difference between the Lord and the jiva. The jiva is just, the Lord is the jiva. So the Lord is doing everything, jivas do nothing. We would have no free will. So therefore we have to understand this as meaning that the jiva has free will, and ultimately it's under the control of the Lord, because the Lord is the source of jiva shakti, and the Lord is the antarami, the Lord is the permitter, etc. But the desires to do this or that, they are the jiva's responsibility. Therefore, the jiva gets the karma. So only that way we have to understand this. So, yes, the Lord is in charge of the karma ultimately. Even that, of course, is indirect. Karma also is part of the material world. It is not part of the spiritual world. So the Lord is not directly involved with any of the karma or whatever like that. But he is the ultimate producer of the law of karma, and he is the one that makes it operate, just as the Lord is the one who allows prakriti to develop into ahankara, mantata, etc. So in the same way, the Lord is the activator of the law of karma. But it acts via devatas, etc., in the material world, according to certain principles under the Supreme Lord. So the Lord isn't personally involved in that also. But ultimately under his control. So therefore it says, yes, the Lord is karma. But of course, he's karma in the sense that the Lord is also the jiva, the Lord is also the universal form, etc. in that sense. But we cannot take it literally that the Lord is karma, otherwise then he's part of the material world. And then he's no longer God, because he's subjected to material influence. So, yes, the Lord is also the jiva, simultaneously different and non-different, because jiva shakti is one of his shaktis. But nevertheless, there is independence for the jiva, and therefore the jiva is responsible for his actions, and therefore he gets the karma. So, the jiva will act in some ways which are sinful, or adharma. And due to that, then karma results. As a result of karma, then the jiva gets suffering. So therefore, the karma gives the suffering directly, ultimately, under the Supreme Lord. Therefore it says, Dupada, the Lord is the giver of suffering. If he's a direct giver of suffering, then we've said, well, then what's the use of being a Supreme Lord if he only does make people suffer? How can he have good qualities if he likes to see people suffer? So no, he gives dukkha in the form of karma, and karma again we trace back to the jiva, not to the Supreme Lord. So the suffering is due to the law of karma, and this operates because of the jiva's activities, and the jiva's activities are because of the free will of the jiva, not because of the Lord. So in this way, the Lord is also the suffering in the material world, in the sense that ultimately the law of karma is under him. And of course death, mrityu. And of course in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says, I am Kala, etc. So yes, the Lord is also death, but death of course is part of the material world again, it's not part of the spiritual world.
So it's all secondary part of the transformations of prakriti, death. Has to do with material bodies, etc. So yes, the Lord is ultimately the cause of it because He arranges the material world in such a way that we get material bodies that live and die according to karma. So in that sense, yes, the Lord is also death. He's the cause, the ultimate cause. Yet it happens all indirectly. So we have the Lord in the spiritual world. We have His expansions, the Purusha avatars, who act on His behalf to do everything in the material world, and ultimately His Paramatma in the heart. So that's a little bit indirect. Then of course, even though the Lord is there, He is the witness. He is the permitter. And the jiva is the one that desires and acts in the material world, and the Lord helps them, that's all. But the Lord remains separate in all cases. And then the Lord appoints devatas, Brahma and devatas and pitras, etc., to help carry out the law of karma for him. And particularly Yamaraj. And in this way, the living entities get their suffering and happiness in the material world, and they're born and they die. So it's all done indirectly. The Lord in the spiritual world has nothing to do with this. So He expands His Paramatma, and then He empowers devatas and the law of karma, etc., to operate in the material world. Ultimately under the Supreme Lord. So, therefore, the Lord is everything in this sense. At the same time, we have to understand, yes, He is separate at the same time. So, yes, He is everything. But we also have to understand that it's not direct. Otherwise, He would get contaminated by the activities of the jiva in the material world. But we know the Lord is always separate from us. He's completely uncontaminated. So, Shiva addresses the Lord in this way to show that ultimately, everything in the material world is ultimately under the Supreme Lord. It cannot escape the Supreme Lord. But as far as responsibility for the problems in the material world, it's not the implication that the Lord is also responsible for all the sinful activities of the jiva or any of the activities that happen here. The Lord makes a law. So of course the question will be asked, well, why does the Lord do this in the first place? Why do we have a material world? Why do we have the jivas subject to ignorance and doing all of this? So the answer in the Brahma Sutra is lila tva. It's because of the Lord's lila. So then the criticism could be, well, okay, it's the Lord's lila. He likes to have fun to see the jiva suffer in the material world. No, it doesn't mean that. It says, it simply says that the jivas exist because of the lila of the Lord. So this means that is an expression of bliss. The jivas exist. Why is that? Because the Lord derives bliss from relationships with the jivas. This of course means the jivas in the spiritual world. Then why do we have jivas in the material world also? So the point is that by definition the jiva is not the Lord, he is something else. He's conscious, but he is not the Lord. So, therefore, in one sense, imperfect. So, at the same time, he is conscious, which means he has his free will. If he doesn't have any free will, then he is part of the Lord. He's also the Lord. It's the same as the Lord. So he's Vishnu, or the expansion of Vishnu. They're all Amsa, so they're, that will is one. But if we make jiva, then he's a separate consciousness, separate free will. At the same time, he's not all-powerful. And therefore, possibility is there of ignorance. And therefore, we'll have some jivas in the material, some in the spiritual. So it's not that directly the Lord is saying it's blissful to see the jiva suffer the material world. No, the existence of the jivas is because of lila of the Lord, the expression of his bliss. So when we have the jivas in the material world, the Lord also does not forget them, therefore he's compassionate. So therefore, he fulfills their desires. That is his compassion in one sense. At the same time, he makes the law of karma to make them give up those desires. So, in this way, he provides an educational system for the jivas in the material world. And then, of course, he comes as avatar, he pervades his paramatma, and he gives scripture, etc., and he sends devotees. So, these are the means by which the Lord is compassionate to the jivas in the material world. It doesn't leave them. And that way, we can say they have a potential of being in the pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world. So the Lord wants to have them join those pastimes, so he provides opportunities for them. So, in this way we have jivas in the material world, we have jivas in the spiritual world. There's no problem for the jivas in the spiritual world. They are in bliss all the time. It is only those who are in the material world, who have covering of ignorance. Those are the ones for which all of this applies. So, because the jiva shakti is non-different from the Lord, and even the achit shakti is non-different from the Lord, therefore, it is all the Lord in one sense, and it's ultimately under his control. So that's all that is meant by all of this. Well, the Lord is there, it's like the two birds in the tree. The Lord is there, and ultimately, yes, he gives them intelligence, and if they want to enjoy them, helps them fulfill those desires, they give them material intelligence. If he doesn't provide anything, then everyone will say, hey, the Lord's cruel, he's not giving us any enjoyment in the material world. So, he gives them enjoyment. But then if you choose to do it in the wrong way, through such sin, then you also get suffering. And if we accuse the Lord, why does he do that? If everyone did bad things and got enjoyment and didn't get any punishment, then we'd also accuse the Lord, why is he doing that? So therefore he has a law that if you do it in the wrong way, then you'll get suffering. So it's a just law also.
My point is, again, the parents, the child is mischievous or not behaving properly. The parents are their responsibility. They're not trying to perform training with the parents. But here we find that the parents are very lenient with the child. The child can go here and the parents cannot just walk up their hands.
He lets the law of karma do the punishment. So that's why the law of karma is also mercy. So yes, there is discipline. If there were no law of karma, yes, then we could say the Lord is irresponsible. He just leaves them in the material world and lets them do whatever they want. No. He puts the devatas there to ensure the laws. He puts the shastra there for laws. He has a law of karma and tell you, make you do. All these things are there. But that is you say why the Lord is responsible. He does things like this. So he's not completely separate. He provides opportunities for the jiva.
People are born very sinful to family. So the children also don't do the sinful activities.
They may or may not. Some are, some don't. Sometimes they don't. And some people who are in good families become sinful also. Yeah, you see, Ajamil became very sinful. Prahlad was demon's family, he was saintly. So there's no rule like that. Yes, there's a tendency like that. And therefore those in Tamagun generally tend to be Tamagun, etc. So therefore the Varnashram system there is there to take the Tamagun people who are inclined to more sin and gradually elevate them through rules and regulations. So just chant Hare Krishna. That's all. That's for everybody, sinful or non-sinful. They can all take through Hare Krishna. Thank you, Tom.
Actually, you were talking about Lord Shiva. Angacharya is intelligent of Lord Shiva. But anyway, he got rid of all the Buddhism. But then, he said he also cheated in one way. And in the end, he said, Bhagavad Govinda, Bhagavad Govinda, Govinda. What do you mean you are keeping that?
And then he presented the Buddhist philosophy as Vedic. That is the Nirvishesha Brahman is equivalent to Nirvana in Buddhism, where there's no qualities, no form, etc. So he identified Nirvana with Brahman in the Vedas and says, okay, Supreme Lord has no qualities and no form. Mm-hmm. So this way he cheated. He introduced new concepts into the Vedas.
Are you cheating in
the Vedas? To defeat the Buddhists. Defeat the Buddhists.
But then he told them to worship Gauri, Mother Gauri, the four of them.
Well, of course, some of the you can take it like that, but many of the Shankarites don't take that verse as that, because he also has verses to Durga Devi and whatever. So they did take it as secondary verses, only those that worship Devatas, and then it's all Satvagun. When you get to Satvagun, then you give up and go to Nirvishesha Brahman. That's how they'll take those verses. Yeah, but they'll take it in a secondary way. Like he says, worship Shiva and worship Devatas also. Panchapasana, Pucha, etc. Worship five Devatas, etc. So yeah, you worship Krishna also. But it's all Satvagun avatar, that's all they are. Ultimately, you have to give it up and just worship impersonal Brahman. Yeah, but I've said people interpret that otherwise, the Shankarites. We can take it that way, but they won't take it that way.
Sometimes the non-devotees come up that they die and the children try to do this. They become very unhappy. They cry and they never see. And in similar now, species on Vaishnavas and great devotees, when they depart from the world, the followers of the disciples and others, they also become very upset.
Both the non-devotees and devotees are affected by suffering. How should the devotees...
Which type of devotees are you talking about? Which devotees? You're talking about pure devotees like Pandavas, or you're talking about people in the material world when you're talking of people suffering? I don't know, are you talking about the Pandavas suffering, or are you talking about your next door neighbor suffering? Who are you talking about? I mean, if you're talking about Nitya Siddhas, they don't suffer. It's all Krishna's Leela for pastimes only. Well, they shouldn't, because they should be detached from the material body to understand they're eternal, shouldn't they? So out of ignorance, maybe they're suffering, that's all. Everyone in the material world has to die. The material bodies are there. So as long as you got material body, you have to suffer in that sense. You can't say that simply because you're a devotee, you're gonna live forever in this material body. No. You give up the body also.
Well, sometimes if I'm a devotee, sometimes I have another problem.
It depends. Sometimes they do have karmas that are shadow karmas. Sometimes it's due to aparadhas, whatever. There's various reasons for it. Sometimes it's an arrangement of the Lord for something. You don't know.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that's another thing, because the devotee is supposed to be beyond attachment, ultimately, so therefore you should not be disturbed. So the disturbance is it means anishta, not
a distinction.
Huh? No, it's just to say the devotional service itself is not advanced enough to nishta. If it's nishta, then basically he's peaceful in all situations. If he hasn't reached that state, then he'll be disturbed.
Was mentioned about this Pitruloka. What kind of living in this state should
Where? Oh, people that worship the Pitras, then they can go to the Pitras. and they become a pitra. It's like a devata body of sorts, but they're particularly, their function is to deliver the shraddhas, offerings to the person who they're offering it to. That's all. They're a type of devata. Subtle body. Very subtle body. And they get enjoyment there also, as pitras. Well, in other words, the Lord gives consciousness to the jiva. He's ultimately, he is the supporter of the jiva's consciousness and all of his functioning, that's all, in that sense.
If you say living entities are created, you know, for God's enjoyment.
Yeah, Leela. In a sense that it's an expression of the Leela of the Lord that the jivas exist. There's no creation of the jivas because they're eternal. They never created it for a particular point in time. But they're an expression of the Lord's bliss. Huh? That the Lord is Ananda, so therefore that Ananda is expressed through pastime with the nitya siddha jivas. Spiritual world also. That's the definition of the jiva, not be taken away from it.
Walking stick.